Please stand for the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, please.
Gaylord.
Here.
Grunch.
Here.
Needhammer.
Here.
Sansom.
Here.
Town.
Here.
Quorum present.
Do we need to have a quorum notated as far as the Parks and Rec Board?
Yes, we do.
We do have a quorum present, 4 out of 7 of my board members out of the 10 of the meeting.
Thank you.
Do we need to call their names?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we'll just acknowledge that.
Yeah.
Thank you for being here, too. Before we get started tonight, we'd like to take a moment of silence and also prayer for Gary Cole. He was a longtime member of our Point City Fire Department. He served as a firefighter, a lieutenant, a captain, assistant chief. He leaves behind his wife Marcy and 4 children, 2 boys, 2 girls, and he served us well for over 20 years, and he passed away yesterday.
Oh.
And we can just take a moment or two, and I might also add that there'll be a visitation next Tuesday from 9 to 11 with a funeral to immediately follow, and that'll be at the Walloon Lake Community Church. So at this time, we'll just take a moment of silence for Gary and his family and thank him in our hearts for a job well done for us. Our first item tonight is the consent agenda. And the purpose of consent agenda is to expedite business by grouping non-controversial items together to be dealt with by one commission motion without discussion. Any member of the commission, staff, or the public may ask at any time, and any item on the consent agenda be removed and placed as the last item under new business to receive full discussion. Such requests will automatically be respected. Tonight we have one item, that's the approval of the March 12th regular City Commission meeting minutes.
I'll move to approve consent agenda as presented.
Cindy?
With the correction of the dates, there were some date corrections.
I'll correct the date from February to March.
In a second.
Second.
Roll call, please.
Gaylord?
Aye.
Grunch?
Aye.
Needhammer?
Aye.
Sansom?
Aye.
Town?
Aye.
Motion carried.
Our next item is hearing citizens' comments on non-agenda items, and we ask that you hold the discussion to 5-minute limit. Do we have anyone here that wishes to address the commission on an item that is not on the agenda tonight? Okay. If not, we'll go to correspondence. We do have a couple of letters here, but they pertain to the, I believe, the property acquisition, so we'll acknowledge them when it comes up. Does anyone, commissioners, have any correspondence to share?
No.
Okay. Mike, you want to give us your city manager's report, please?
Yes, Mayor. Thank you. Just want to let everybody know that a print of the Boyne River, which was presented to the community during our recent Irish Fest by Pat and Angela McGuire, who were born in Ireland and visited with us on a regular basis, they have a property out at Boyne Mountain, is on display with us here tonight on that back table. They presented that to us. That's the Boyne River in Ireland, and we're going to be hanging that in an appropriate location here in City Hall. Our new police car was delivered on Monday. This is the one that replaces the expedition that we gave to the, or traded to the ambulance department after theirs was involved in an accident. So that car is here. It's being prepared for regular service. In the meantime, it's available if the need desires. The sediment samples for the marina related to the dredging have been collected. Didn't have any problems with that. Some of them did not pass the initial sieve test and are now undergoing chemical testing. We hope to have the results from those tests and be submitting additional application paperwork to the state by the end of this week. The Grain Train Co-op is taking a serious and sincere look, their words, at opening a second store here in Boyne City, possibly in the old North Country Sports Facility on South Park Street. Representatives of the Grain Train have come and met here in Boyne City, and we've met with them as well in Petoskey. People who are interested in supporting a satellite store, because this is a co-op organization, may want to visit Inspired Living store on Water Street. There, the owner, Leslie Nielsen, and her staff are recording names of Boyne City area residents that would like to see this happen. The Grain Train's board of directors hopes to be making a decision on this matter in the next couple of months. So we'll keep you posted as that goes forward, hopefully. The homeowners at 854 Front Street have requested permission to have construction equipment access their waterfront through Tannery Park to work on it as it is approved. They've gotten a permit from the Army Corps of Engineers. They'll be restoring our site to its original condition when their work is done. So if you see some unusual activities going on there, that's what that is. The Lake Charlevoix Association hopes to be lowering additional fish habitat structures through the ice this coming weekend off city properties. They've coordinated the locations with us to avoid current or future marina or boating conflicts. These structures have been permitted by the MDEQ and are being placed around Lake Charlevoix to basically enhance and support the fish populations. Kirtland Products has apparently not been operating since our last regular city commission meeting. There's nothing new we are aware of to report at this time. We had Avalanche Warming Hut open, basically what we anticipate for the last weekend, this last weekend. The hill will remain open for sledding as long as the weather permits, and we do have the bathroom that's open out there, but the warming shed itself will be closed for the season. Tomorrow in this room, the Charlevoix County Boards of Commissioners will be holding their one of their regular meetings. That starts tomorrow at 7 p.m. We do have a copy of their complete agenda and agenda packet if anybody's interested in taking a look at that, if they're thinking of going to the meeting or would just like to know what they're going on with. And just to make sure that the public's aware of it, the City Commission, since our last regular meeting, has met twice to review the proposed city budget. We had an all-day budget session last Tuesday. It basically started at 8 o'clock in the morning and ran until almost 9 o'clock at night. It was a long day for everybody. But if anybody would like to review this proposed city budget, we do have it here. It's available at the library. It's available online. You're welcome to come in and take a look at it. We will be having a public hearing on the proposed budget at our next meeting, which will be April 9th, in this room at 7 o'clock. And if anybody looks at it and has any questions, feel free to ask any of the commissioners or Cindy or myself, and we'd be glad to try and address any questions people might have. That's all I have for tonight, unless the commission has questions on these or other items they'd like to ask about.
Mayor?
Yes.
I have a question. On the Tannery Park access for the construction equipment, do we have a time frame of completion and restoration in case anybody's asked about that?
If Andy, I'd turn that over to Andy. He's been communicating with the folks at that point.
The company's doing the work, landscaping. They're saying probably less than 30 days it should be done out.
And starting when?
Starting last week.
Oh, they did. Okay.
They're already moving their equipment in.
All right.
Getting ready to start. Should there still be snow left on the ground when they're done, we'll do an inspection afterwards, obviously.
Okay.
Make sure there's no issues. All right. I'm sure with that company's reputation, they'll be back to take care of the problems that they have created.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Adam.
Mayor?
Anyone else? No. Okay. Next item is reports of officers, boards, and standing committees. And one item we have tonight, we have our financial statement with us. Do we have any questions? Okay, we'll move on. Unfinished business. Fireworks ordinance change, second reading, second reading and consideration to repeal Section 34, Article 34, the Beacon Tree Fireworks, the Boyne City's Code of Ordinances, and adopt a new division to provide for the ignition, discharge, and use of consumer and display fireworks. And Leslie, are you going to take the summary?
I can take the summary.
Okay.
At the request of the commission, we looked at the ordinance, we looked at the new state law that was associated with it, and offered to you a proposed ordinance that allowed for the use of consumer fireworks on the 10 permitted holidays, the day before those holidays, and the days after that holiday for a total of 30 days. And then we also included a provision that would allow for the city commission to approve the use of display fireworks at your discretion based on requests. A question that had come up last time was what were the penalties associated with it, and per our ordinances, the violations would be $50 for the first offense, $250 for the second offense, and $500 for third and subsequent offenses. And other than that, we've done nothing with it since the first reading. And I'll answer any questions that you may have.
Thank you. Do we have any staff members or department heads that would like to comment on the proposed ordinance, the ordinance changes? Chief Gaither, are you comfortable with the way it's written? It gives you the tools you need to take care of our needs outside the 30-day window?
Yes, Mayor, I agree with the way it's been proposed.
Mike?
Well, again, as Leslie mentioned, this is basically a reaction to the changes in state law that allowed fireworks to be used much more widely than they have been in the past. Basically, there's 30 days throughout the year that they're permitted, that we have no real ability to regulate them unless they're providing a direct safety hazard to somebody else. Basically, during those times, as Leslie mentioned, on a holiday, the day before, and the day after those holidays, they're basically permitted, and we cannot regulate that. We've had, especially around the 4th of July time, we had a number of complaints or concerns expressed by citizens with regards to continuation, fireworks being used at very late hours, things of that nature. And ultimately, the commission gave us direction as to what they wanted to see in the ordinance, and that's what we brought back to the commission. Before you today, we have the public hearing scheduled. After the public hearing, the City Commission can interpret what we've heard from the public hearing, what you've heard from the community outside of this forum, and decide if the Commission wishes to take action on it tonight or at some future date, or decide not to take action on it. So, we'd be glad to address any questions that you have as you go forward.
Okay. At this time, we'll ask for citizens' comments in regards to change in the fireworks ordinance. If there's anyone out there who'd like to address the commission or weigh in on it, we'll give you the floor if you give you time to speak. Okay, otherwise, we'll move to commission for discussion. And Laura, would you like to start?
As you all probably are aware on the commission, that I'm not really in favor of this new state law the way it is, but we're kind of stuck with what we can do with it. 30 days is 30 days out of the year. Hopefully it'll stay to that. The question I have on this new ordinance as it's written, it says possession of consumer fireworks by a minor. It says a minor shall not possess consumer fireworks. I would think that would also mean display fireworks. I mean, if you wanted to read it word for word as it's stated, they shouldn't possess any kind of fireworks except for like sparklers or something that's low ground, right?
Display fireworks are regulated by the state, and if they chose to permit a 17-year-old, great. But if they don't, a display firework must have a permit from the state of Michigan, separate from anything that happens there. I think we did discuss this last time.
I know. It gets complicated,
yes.
I know, for me on that level, because does that mean somebody could possess display fireworks, who's a minor.
I think what Leslie is trying to indicate is that only if they have a valid permit from the state. So if the state granted to it, potentially yes.
Okay. And is...
At least it wouldn't be prohibited under this ordinance as it's currently written.
Okay. So anyone 18 and under cannot possess or discharge any fireworks, basically. Right?
Without a permit.
Without a permit from the state. Okay. I guess, and the other question I have, we have laws in place, like, say, for property damage or anything else that might occur as to the setting off of fireworks in neighborhoods and whatnot. That would be under what kind of fines? Say somebody sets off a bottle rocket and it hits the neighbor's garage and sets it on fire.
I don't think we have a rule that...
So what kind of recourse would that individual have?
The insurance company would be talking to the family of the person that shut off the bottle rocket, I'm sure.
Okay.
But to the best of my knowledge, there
but are nothing that we would oversee. Okay. That's about all I have.
Is that not already covered in the state law? The new state law says responsible for damages. Do we have the text of the actual state law as it reads right now?
In my office, I do.
You may want to grab that.
I'll go grab that.
And that may answer, that will also indicate whether Commissioner Sampson's question regarding minors, does the state address that during these 30 days? And we can address it outside of the 30-day window. I think it's important that you get that definitively answered. There's no ambiguity.
It seems like, if I remember right, the state law said that for personal injury or even including death was like a $1,500 maximum penalty, which I think is kind of a low price on a human life, but it seems like it was very low.
Yeah, it's down.
I think it's
can I ask Chief a question regarding this?
Sure. Okay.
Would that not be no different than any other law that you cannot damage someone else's property or injury to their person? So we don't... It doesn't need to be addressed specifically to fireworks. Is that a correct assumption?
I would tend to look at it more as a civil issue. If you cause damage to your neighbor's property unintentionally, without malice, that it would be a civil liability, and they would have to sue each other to straighten that out.
While Leslie's looking for this information, you know, I think the whole thrust of the purpose of what we're doing here is giving our police department the authority to actually do something about it. Presently, I don't believe that we have anything in past ordinance or present that allows us to take action, you know, outside that 30-day window. Is that correct?
That's correct. We don't have any authority to regulate fireworks at all right now because of what the state law, other than our city ordinance that prohibits them during certain hours, but it doesn't prohibit them during certain days. So we're going to narrow that down with this ordinance. We would narrow that down to 30 days, and outside of those 30 days, then we would be able to enforce that, the new ordinance, and hopefully put a stop to that, if that's what the commission wants.
All right. I believe that was the spirit of moving forward with this, is to give you tools to work with.
Well, the only thing that they talk about here in here is that you're not allowed to smoke around them. And then you must post that there shall be no smoking. But they don't bring up a property damage or anything like that. Quite honestly, the ordinance is very, very, very short. The state law.
Yeah.
The law you're looking at, is that that's the amendment that the state made to their statutes? Are there other provisions that it might be incorporated in some place?
to the best of my knowledge, no. I got everything that I was quite shocked when I started this back in January that there was such limited
legislation
on it. It was just, was not much.
Yeah, that's what I found too when I was doing research.
I got more information reading what other communities had done, and their attorneys' opinions is where I got most of the information that it was quite shocking. Or the newspapers, because all of the newspapers were talking about it. And here, when it all started this summer, I thought that the economy had come back so well. That's why there were so many fireworks, forgetting about the law changing, because there was a heck of a lot more this summer than usual.
Yeah, the other thing that bothers me is if we're in a high fire danger season, that we can't regulate it citywide, saying our area is high fire danger, and to set off fireworks in that kind of condition in neighborhoods just seems kind of risky to me. So, but be what it is.
Chief, did you have your hand up, sir?
Yes, the only, the regulation on minors at the state level is only purchasing. So this is that minors can't purchase them. It doesn't say anything about using them. So the state law doesn't address the use of them by minors. On the other issue of the damage, there is a provision in the state law to reimburse fire departments for responses to fires that are caused by fireworks. However, when we were doing the research on this, we found out that the state didn't generate enough money in this process to reimburse any fire departments in the past year. But that provision is there, and they hope to make money on this to be able to do that. But that's, and I'm not defending it, I'm just reporting it.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you. Okay. Tom, did you have anything else?
One question where it says that a special permit from the city commission, should that be city staff or city commission? Thinking that if someone has to wait 2 weeks till we hold a meeting, whereas, you know, this is a special permit for a special use, so I'm having a big party, I want some fireworks, then in a week, and the city commission meeting's not for 2 weeks, that's just my thought. Other than that, I'm in favor of moving forward with this.
I think we made it city commission when we discussed it last time, if my memory's right. I mean, I could be wrong, but it seemed like they'd have to plan ahead and ask for a special. If we're display fireworks, you're going to have to order those way in advance, so it's going to be more than like a week out.
Fair enough.
That would be my interpretation. Maybe what you're thinking about are just regular fireworks, if somebody was having a party outside of those 30 daytime. That's maybe what you're thinking of. If somebody wanted like a party, a special party, like a celebration, and it wasn't within those 30 days, that would might be then just something that would go before as a request at City Hall. But I think for display fireworks, I think that's what we had. You know, like a 4th of July fireworks display or Venetian festival style display. That's a little bit different.
Well, there's a fine line. You can get some pretty nice fireworks that are, you know, for home use. That would be nothing more than a party. But other than that point, which we can discuss or move on.
We can also, if we make a motion to approve this, we can put that in the motion too. So. Anything else, Tom? Gene?
Well, I've read ordinance over. I believe it is a good ordinance. I think the 10-day holiday, 30 days is sufficient. And I support the recommendation.
Derek?
Thank you, Mayor. With regards to if the state does not address possession by under 18, are we allowed to restrict that further and still be compliant with the state law outside of the 30 days?
I believe we are.
I would think so.
So on those 30 days, a 6-year-old under adult supervision is legal to... I'm sorry?
Yes.
Okay.
You mean under, a six-year-old with adult supervision can still fire them off? Is that what you're saying?
Under the state, yeah, the state regulation. We, now this is to prohibit the use of fireworks by minors. Is that correct?
Including the 30-day window?
Yeah?
Yeah.
I would think so. You wouldn't want to.
Of consumer fireworks.
Right.
Right. But I thought we couldn't regulate it on the day before, day of, and day after.
I believe you could regulate the age requirement.
So we can regulate anything during those 30 days?
That's not my understanding of it.
Where does it state that municipalities can regulate age during the 30-day window outside of the... Didn't it just address...
A local government may enact an ordinance regulating the ignition, discharge, and use of consumer fireworks. However, an ordinance enacted under this subsection shall not regulate the use of consumer fireworks on the day preceding the day of or the day after a national holiday. Now, in another portion of the Act of 2011, consumer fireworks shall not be sold to a minor.
Right.
A person that violates this subsection shall be ordered to pay a civil fine in addition to the one that you have in your ordinance. The age requirement shall be verified, and it gives several different ways that they can do it. And then in ours, it does not say we cannot do that.
Doesn't say we can either.
Doesn't say we can, but they were pretty clear on what they told us we couldn't do. When it came to the dates, etc.
I'd like some official clarification on that regarding the age restriction during the 30-day time frame. The state says you can't buy it as a minor.
Well, if you can't.
And it says you can't make any regulations the day before, day of, the day after. So if you had one that was outside of that window as far as age for possessing them, I just want to make sure we don't, family that has a 13-year-old that's responsible with adults nearby get in trouble or inadvertently. If we're not allowed to have that language enacted during the 30 days.
May I say something here?
When
it comes to buying, purchasing alcohol, and a minor cannot purchase alcohol, that means a minor cannot consume alcohol as well. I mean, that goes without saying. And so I guess my interpretation would be similar to that. If a minor can't purchase them, then a minor shouldn't be able to use them.
Shouldn't and can are two different things, though. I agree with you on the alcohol. The law does differentiate that. I think the chief would back me up on that.
That's how I translate it.
Just because you didn't purchase it, you still can't possess or consume it.
Right.
Minor. But on the fireworks, the state strictly addresses purchasing. If it was purchased by an adult, I'm not reading where anything says that we can restrict that possession by a minor.
Anyone? I can't answer the question. I would have to go to legal counsel.
Okay. I think it's important. Obviously, we don't want to create an ordinance that still further conflicts with the state law. We'll make sure we're in full compliance.
So when you go to tobacco regulations and you go to liquor regulations, is there laws that are specifically attached to that they say they will not use or cannot use?
Well, they say use and use, possess, purchase, so that language is included in those kind of laws.
But it's not included in this state law?
No.
So But didn't you read earlier that gives us the right to control?
It gives us the right to do certain things, yes. Mm-hmm. Just not on those 30 days.
Mm-hmm. Right. So that's what we're working on, is the 335 that we can take control of.
So. And again, like I said, there just wasn't a lot out there. I had to take my lead from with what little I could.
Right.
So during the 30 days, you know, two-part question, I guess, as far as the age restriction outside of it, and then during the 30 days. If the law allows us to create the restriction of possession by a minor outside of the 30 days, that would be one thing.
According to the state law, they cannot purchase it even in the 30 days.
Right. Well, I'm not talking about purchasing. That would be like buying it from a roadside stand. I'm talking about possessing. If it was purchased by an adult, then you have the legal transaction. Chief, correct me if I'm wrong. Now, if that legally purchased firework is now in the possession of a minor, that's the question here. They didn't purchase it.
Mm-hmm. And in the haste to pass this, I'm sure that didn't come up, and that there's the same conversation happening somewhere else in the state of Michigan right now.
Sure. I'm just concerned about Boyne City right now.
And if they change it, it'll trump anything they do, but... Right now, we're trying to take control of the other 335 days, and I think that's...
So we acknowledge we can't control the possession by a minor on those 30 days. Is that the consensus?
The way I read it.
Barring a legal... So we...
Yeah, so we do what we can do and give our department the tools to, you know, control mayhem and possible injury and, you know, discomfort to the people that outside of those 30 days, so...
Can we
check
and see?
It sounds like you've got three options with regards to that item right now. And I think what we're talking about is Section 34, 114. Mm-hmm. One, you can leave it as it is and assume that you have the ability to do it. And if you don't, that's the portion that would be struck down. Two, we can table it for more information and see if we can try and get some clarification from the state, which we may or may not be able to get. It's still relatively new, and it might require an opinion from the Attorney General or something of that nature.
Right. You could set a precedent.
Or you could potentially amend 34.114 to just restrict a minor shall not possess consumer fireworks outside those 30-day period, and just let the state statute say what it is if you don't want to potentially run in conflict of it. But that would leave you open as to potentially unregulating it for minors for those 30 days if the state law doesn't regulate it, right, which it doesn't appear that it does.
If we leave this as it is, so it restricts it, and we find out later on that we're in violation, what happens?
The state law takes precedence.
I know, but I mean, what are they going to do?
Potentially could happen is the police department, let's say they get a complaint or they find a minor setting off fireworks, let's say during those 30-day periods where the question is whether we can regulate or not. And let's say they issue them a ticket or a civil infraction with regards to this. Mm-hmm. That person would have the ability to appeal that, go before a judge, and if the judge feels that we were wrong, they would kick that ticket. If you find out that way, that judge at least didn't think that it was right.
Yeah.
You know, and then you can decide whether you want to appeal or not, or amend your ordinance, or go from there. That's finding out after the fact the question that Councilman Gaylor is asking now.
Right.
But that's what would happen.
I just want to know what the consequences were if we left it as is. Okay.
That's my understanding. Correct me if you see another path.
That's exactly right.
Anything else?
Yes. Regards to the penalty, it references first offense, second offense, third and subsequent. Can you define the time frame parameters on those? When does a second offense become a first offense? Do you understand what my question is?
Yeah, I understand what your question is.
Like within an hour, within a day, a month, a year? That's the question.
I'm pretty sure it's a year. Based on other zoning issues that I've dealt with, if someone didn't move their junk vehicles out of their yard, I wrote them a ticket. I can write them one a day under township law.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I have never written a ticket in the city before, so I'm not sure. But in with the township ordinance, it's one per day.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And.
But this doesn't address a time frame. I would like to have a time frame reference to, on this fee schedule.
That I added that just to the memo portion
because
it was a question. Mm-hmm. That is another section of your ordinance that already exists.
Okay.
34, section 2, it's right at the beginning of your ordinance, I'm sorry. I can go grab that too if you'd like.
Well, yeah, it'd be important to, so the folks know that outside of the 30-day window, what they're risking and what that entails. This is tied to this fee schedule.
Huh? One more, I guess, upon discussion, I did come up with an opinion. I think we're muddying the waters if we try to regulate minors, say, on July 2nd, but not on July 3rd. A minor doing something wrong, whether it be throwing snowballs or throwing rocks or lighting off firecrackers, is still under the parent's jurisdiction, so to speak. So, to make it easier and consistent, I would say we eliminate that whole line about the age limit. And that's, I think, what you were bringing
up. That was exactly what I was up on, yes.
And, I think it's too hard for the police department to say, okay, are we one day before the three-day ban or the three-day allowance, or are we, it's just, you have different rules for different dates. It's pretty confusing. I think I agree with you there.
I'd like to see it left in to apply straight across. So I'm of the opposite point of view. I don't like seeing young children set off bottle rockets. I think it's dangerous, very dangerous.
But I've seen, on the other hand, there's many families that within a family function, the parents are there, the adults are there, and children, probably not 2-year-olds, but 13, 15-year-olds are firing bottle rockets very safely.
So, and some not so safely. I've seen some go horizontal.
Was that a parent issue them. Or a police issue?
Well, it's a danger issue in my book.
But the bottom line is we've got to give our police department the authority to act outside that 30-day window. That's what this is all about. So take control of what we can.
The language is saying that you can't do it at all, whether you're 35 or you're 15, outside that 30-day window.
That's
the way you're proposing. Yeah. So I don't think if we eliminate that ordinance, we're not defeating handcuffing, pardon the pun, the police department and the enforcement of this ordinance. Am I not correct with that?
Well, it's not implied as far as the way I read it. That they had that authority, and that's why we're going through this exercise.
6 months.
Okay, within 6 months. Okay. Thank you.
Well, I think we should bring this discussion to a close, and I'll ask for a motion.
Can I clarify, Mr. Mayor, our options?
Certainly.
Today is the second reading, correct?
That is correct.
So after today, it does what if we leave it as we move it forward?
Basically, you've had the public hearing, you've gathered public input, your choices before you are now. You can adopt it as it is, you can amend it and adopt it with some amendments to it, or you could postpone this for a further discussion, or you could deny it completely and say we're not going to do anything at all.
So
So you have the wide, you have a wide range of options before you at this point. Again, does that answer your question?
Yes, thank you. I'll make a motion that we postpone this amendment and refer it back to staff for further clarification and discussion.
I'll second.
Do you want to clarify the points we want to clarify?
(clears throat) 34-115, which refers to the age of 18.
114, isn't it? Let's go to 114.
Possession of consumer products by a minor. Mm-hmm. That was over.
Yes.
That's
yes.
34-114.
Okay. I'm going to add that to the motion. Okay, we have the motion and a second. Roll calls.
Grunch?
Aye.
Needhammer?
Aye.
Sansom?
Aye.
Town?
Aye.
Gaylor?
Aye.
Motion carried.
Our first item of new business tonight is a public hearing regarding the Michigan Natural Resources Trust Fund grant. It's an application to purchase property. Public hearing to hear public comment regarding the possibility of applying for Michigan Natural Resources Trust Fund grant for the purpose of purchasing the Moody property in consideration to authorize the city manager, staff, and city clerk to execute the documents. And I believe, Leslie, you're going to handle the summary on that also.
Yes, I'll stand up here so the audience can see the little presentation that I put together. Because you won't be standing anyone's way.
And dim the lights a little bit. No.
You have better eyes than me. You know, I am really looking forward to tomorrow because I'm hoping the weather's going to be good enough that I can go out and actually walk the property. I really feel I've come to know this property over the last couple of weeks while I've researched it. We are just referring to it here as the vacant Moody parcel. The next slide shows subject where the site is, and it is located on that bend just east of the mill pond. Mm-hmm. And we can go on. The Michigan Natural Resources Trust Fund is currently accepting applications, and they are due on Monday. They must be postmarked. The trust fund is funded by the sale of oil, gas, and mineral leases and the royalties, and it goes for public acquisition of land as well as for the development of parks. A similar grant was given to the city back in early 2000, and that part of the Riverwalk was done with a Michigan Natural Resources Trust Fund grant money. The Moody family has expressed an interest in selling a portion of their vacant Boyne River frontage to the city. Some highlights, the acquisition of water and river frontage properties is a goal of our recreation plan that was adopted in 2010. The waterfront master plan, which was adopted in 2006, calls for the protection of wetland areas from the impacts of development. There is this parcel is adjacent to the developing Riverside Park, and it offers expanded and enhanced water access for fishing and wildlife viewing. And in the waterfront master plan, there is a schematic that will be part of the application should we wish to continue, that shows Riverside Park and a trailway going on to this property. So it's something that's been thought about and been in the works in drawings back as far as 2006 that we can actually put a finger on it. This is a picture of the schematic or a portion of the schematic for Riverside Park, and it shows right there at the end of Spring a connection onto this property. So it makes perfect sense. And if we should choose to go forward, we don't even have to draw the required site plan for development for this site. This meets the qualifications that we need. Something else I thought that was very important, because it came up several times and in the newspaper article, is what does this parcel generate for the city? Mm-hmm. It's a little difficult, but I'm going to do my best, because there are technically about 8 acres in this parcel. And the small portion of the property that would be to the north is designated to maybe go to the schools for their build-a-house program. Mm-hmm. So not all of this property would leave the tax rolls. But based on what it is today as vacant land, $133.51 goes to city operating, $57.65 goes to the county and all of their miscellaneous things, such as the road millage, etc. $51.64 goes to state education, $28 to school debt, $23.92 to the intermediate school district, and $8.34 to the library, for a total of $310.33. I think that if this plan did go through, that part of it went to the city for parkland, part of it went to the schools as their build-a-house, we'd be way farther ahead because those taxes would not go away. We'd probably get some additional. But as the property sits right now, $310 a year, $133 to the city.
I'm running out of space in my DVR. Can I stop you just for a moment so I can do one quick
thing? That's a hard thing for me to get to shut up. But yeah.